Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. I hope everybody is having a great week, and we had a lot of stuff that happened. Quickly, I wanted to apologize about not having a show the other day. Didn't feel well, had a headache, so I thought I'd pass. It's been a couple days, so we've had some really interesting developments happen, and we're going to run through a lot of this stuff. We're going to do a recap of CinemaCon. We're not going to do the whole recap because I actually did Monday and Tuesday. We did a couple of the stories. So we're going to touch upon exactly what's happened in the last 48 hours. Today is the end of CinemaCon. Today is, you know, the wrap-up day for everybody. So it's basically, there's no major studios doing anything or whatever. So we had a lot of James Gunn news. And our first reactions of Guardians of the Galaxy in. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. So let's just dive right in. So in the last 48 hours, okay, we've had a lot of trailers that are seen and not seen. So one of the trailers that actually was seen, okay, the other day was for Transformers. And this, we finally got our another taste of these robotic giants. And I gotta say, I watched it a couple times, and I gotta say, it looks great. I've kind of checked out of this franchise maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So the last film that they did was back in 2017. It was called The Last Knight. Didn't get received that well. And so now we have another one. Okay, this one looks best. So this is based on, I grew up, I'm an 80s kid, okay? I remember, quick story, I remember going downstairs one Christmas morning and the whole tree was just covered in presents and they were all Transformers. I mean, it was everything from Optimus Prime to Bumblebee to Megatron to Starscream to Soundwave. It was everybody. And of course, you know, these are $25 and $30 things at the time because they're metal. And it was just amazing. I loved them. I had all of the Transformers. I loved them all. So this one is a little different though. Okay. So this is Beast Wars. I'm not too familiar with this. I know, of course, as you can see, okay, we have Optimus Primal. Okay. This one is a little different. So they're actually going up against another big bad. And it looks good. Peter Cullen is coming back. As you can see, Optimus Prime is returning. So that is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to this one. So this comes out June 9th. So we're actually 3 weeks. So next week is Guardians. I can't even believe we're going to say that. And then 2 weeks after that, or about a month after that, we're going to get Transformers Rise of the Beast. And it looks magnificent, the trailer. I'm going to link all of these trailers down in the description box for you guys. So if you haven't seen them, you can watch them there, or you can, you know, Google them, you know, find them on YouTube yourself. I love this. I think it looks fantastic. I'm really curious to see what they're going to be able to do with all of these characters. And yeah, the fact, I think for me, okay, the fact that Peter Cullen, who is the original voice, so anybody who is an 80s guy like myself and is a Transformers nerd, Peter Cullen has voiced Optimus Prime all throughout the 80s. He did all of the television shows, and he's done all of the movies. So that is his claim to fame. He is the voice of Optimus Prime, and he's coming back, and that's going to be fantastic. It's going to be interesting to see how they integrate all of these different animals and creatures into it. And it's interesting because we have Dominique Fishback coming back, and we have Anthony Ramos, of course, you know, so he was in one of them, and it just looks so much fun. What do you guys think about Transformers? And we're going to move on here in a minute, but what do you guys think about Transformers? Are you interested in the Transformers movie? Who's your favorite Transformer? Are you interested in any one of the Beast Wars? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments. Okay, so like I said, this is going to be a whole wrap-up of CinemaCon. So another one of the trailers that we actually didn't get, okay, and I hate to toot my own horn, guys, but I've been saying for months and months and months because of the lack of marketing for the project, frankly. And they had a chance at the Super Bowl, and they didn't, because, you know, you had The Flash and you had Guardians, and we'll get to that in a couple minutes. Then you had the Oscars, the biggest night of the year. And I said, wow, that's really curious they didn't do that. And then I said, what they're going to do is they're going to show a big chunk of it, or they're going to show the whole movie. And this was Paramount's last chance to do it. And I'm talking about Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. This movie, I was kind of gloating to a couple people the other day because it was the extent of, I knew it was going to happen. This was the last chance we were going to get to see any kind of footage. So, so this comes from Variety, okay? And basically, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning debuts 20-minute car chase with Tom Cruise, Haley Atwell evading enemies through the streets of Rome. Ethan Hunt clearly does not want to die old and of natural causes. The IMF agent swings back into action in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and it's based on the footage that Paramount brought to CinemaCon on Thursday. His alter ego, Tom Cruise, is once again putting it all on the line in service of keeping audiences on the edge of their seats. In the past, Cruise has hung on the side of skyscrapers and airplanes. This time, Cruise rides on a motorcycle off a cliff, you know, as the one does to save the world. And in a 20-minute sequence that was screened for movie theater owners in Las Vegas on Thursday, he and Haley Atwell played a mysterious operator, evade multiple different antagonists while driving at breakneck speeds through the streets and alleys of Rome. Even the Spanish Steps make an appearance. Making things even tenser, Cruise and Atwell are handcuffed much throughout the chase, which find themselves jumping on and discarded motorcycles, police cars, and beat-up autos instead of the junkyard. The lengthy scene seems like Cruise's effort to top such iconic chases as those in The French Connection and Bullet, all while in the Colosseum looms in the distance. The audience at Caesar's Palace seemed to dug what was going on, gasping, applauding, and laughing, yes, and it frequently was funny, along with every hairpin turn. Cruise did not attend CinemaCon in person. He had for the past two installments because he's busy working on Dead Reckoning Part 2, and God only knows risking, you know, his body. After the presentation, Paramount's executive huddled on the speakerphone lobby of the theater in Caesar's Palace to reassure Cruise that the sequence has been a huge hit with the audiences. They also make it a point of telling him that they let the audiences know that 20 minutes they showed were not the first part of the film. Christopher McQuarrie, who directed the previous two Mission Impossible films, returns, as do ensemble members Simon Pegg, Rebecca Ferguson, Vin Rames, and Vanessa Kirby. And there's some interesting trivia I want to talk to about in a couple minutes. That's not to say nothing of the menacing presence of Henry Zenneran. I believe I mispronounced his name, forgive me. The shadowy government agent who stalked Hunt and his crew in the 1996 inaugural Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 opens July 14th during Paramount's CinemaCon presentation. The studio also teased trailers, footage from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, and Transformers Rise of the Beast, which we just spoke about. And CinemaCon is an annual event, exhibition industry trade show that is unfolding this week in Las Vegas. Attendees have seen presentations from all of the major studios, including Warner Brothers, Sony, Disney, and Universal. And we'll get to one from Universal in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to touch on, this. So this is one of the perennial films. So my good friend Jeremy Frauser and I were talking prior to actually the Oscars on a space. And by the way, guys, if you want to follow me on Twitter, here you can actually do that. Just you're going to want to go to this. I'm sorry. Let me put this full screen for everybody. It's going to be Wannabe Rounder, and I'm always on there. And I always talk about movies and, you know, have spaces occasionally and everything else. Come join me for all that good stuff. Anyways, what I was getting at is, excuse me, that there had been nothing. We had heard no promotional material from this Paramount at all about this. And it was the night after the Oscars. And I said, they have to do something because it's a huge film. And subsequently, I said, I'll bet you something happens tomorrow. And lo and behold, this is the poster that dropped. But it went completely under the radar because, let's face it, everybody was talking about what happened the other night before with the Oscars. So I felt, you know, somebody sent me a tweet saying, you know, Tom must have listened to you. But it was like the simple premise of this now being, this is where they're going to really do something. And, you know, it's interesting because this is the only trailer. I want to actually take this away for a minute. So this is the only trailer that really, this is the shot of the still of the first and only trailer we've gotten for this movie. And it's fascinating because it's been almost a year. And, you know, I was shocked to see, you know, this. I mean, so there's a couple of things that, and then this is one of the shots here, that the images that was put out. But, you know, this is, they're being caught by the police here. But it's interesting because if you look at what they've done, you know, I think Tom Cruise hit a, I mean, he's obviously a genius marketer and everything else. But I think the thing is that he realized something. He struck a nerve. And it was this. He knew Top Gun was going to do money. He knew Top Gun was going to do bank. And he waited almost 18 months, at least a year, if not 18 months. And what ended up happening was it had legs. And it went on to gross almost $1.5 billion. And while that was different, it was still an action film. And that being said, he saw this and said, we need to, you know, ramp it down dramatically. And because, you know, we've always seen photos that have come out from sets, you know, whether it's No Way Home or whether it's, you know, Joker 2 or whatever it is. And there's been nothing. There have been no, I mean, this one was a still, but that's it. You've heard little tiny announcements, but nothing. And people have forgotten about it. And one thing Tom Cruise does is he does everything practical. Everything practical. And that's what made Top Gun Maverick so good. It's because he did everything practical. He could have used CGI, sure, but it wouldn't have been the same. All that being said, this is going to be huge. I'm telling you right now. And it's, I think I said this to somebody the other day. I really believe this is going to make over $1 billion. Because once you get everybody up in a frenzy like this, and we still don't have a trailer, by the way. Think about this, okay? We still don't have a trailer. They saw it at CinemaCon. We haven't seen it. My guess is this. Couple of things. Number one, either they're going to release this on Monday, okay, to the public because they want everybody to, you know, really talk about it more over the weekend. Or, so there have been hints that this is one of these trailers is going to be attached to Guardians of the Galaxy. And I could see Guardians of the Galaxy, but I would rather think Fast 10 because it is an action film and everything else. But I really, really suspect within 48 hours, if not that, it's going to be this weekend, that you're going to see a trailer for Mission Impossible 2. Because there have been trailers to come up, and we'll talk about another one here in a couple minutes. It's one of those things where I think that we're only 46 days away from this film opening up. And I think that if you don't do something now, okay, The problem is that people are going to forget about it. And they'll go, oh, that was coming out? Oh, my God. You know, so I think that it's imperative that they need to do a hard push and everything else. I can't wait for this movie. I mean, the one trailer so let me backtrack a little bit. I just watched, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. I just put it up because of Paramount's little presentation. I decided to put up the first of the many that I will be doing with several Mission Impossible rewatches. So I just put up Mission Impossible yesterday. And because, you know, Paramount was doing that. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. But I just watched Mission Impossible 2 last night. And, you know, I had seen it before, but it had always been the one film that was the lesser of the films. It's like a Quantum of Solace type of thing, if you will. And I know I didn't like it. And I understand it was done in 2000 and everything else. And it just, I took notes on it and I'll be recording that, you know, down the road. But it was one of those things where I know why I didn't care for it. And I've seen it like two or three times. But Mission Impossible is just, you know, and I said this to somebody the other day, what would we be in Hollywood, or what would Hollywood be without Mission Impossible? Had that 1996 one not done well. Anyways, guys, what do you think about this? Are you excited for Mission Impossible? Are you which Mission Impossible is your favorite? Who is your favorite? Let me know down in the comment box and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so we're moving on. So we move on from one that didn't have a trailer to Lionsgate. And Lionsgate had a couple of films, okay? Saw 10, which I'm really looking forward to in October. But this one was the one that really is going to do numbers. And that's The Hunger Games. So The Hunger Games actually premiered its first trailer. And that's Rachel Zegler. And so this is going to be a big, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be so this is a prequel now. I should say that. This is a prequel. And, you know, I think that, I watched the trailer and I got to say, I liked it. I don't know if it's for me, okay, but it's not a bad trailer. So it's one of those things where this is going to appeal to a whole brand new generation. And I think that when we see, because don't forget, I mean, she's a very good actress. Okay, she just doesn't get the recognition that she deserves. And I think that, nonetheless, so I think it's going to do well. Okay, so this comes from The Hollywood Reporter and said, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes gets a full trailer at CinemaCon. The Lionsgate adaptation of Susan Collins' novel will hit November 17th of this year. Ready to return to The Hunger Games? Lionsgate has dropped their first official trailer. And by the way, guys, as I said earlier, I'm going to be putting all of the links for the trailers in the description box so you guys can watch them. Lionsgate has dropped their first official trailer for The Hunger Games, Ballad of the Songbirds and Snakes, the latest franchise installment in the Susan Collins prequel novel, a New York Times bestseller. The film stars Tom Blath, Rachel Zegler, Peter Dinklage, Hunter Schafer, Josh Andres Rivera, Jason Schwartzman, and Viola Davis for director Francis Lawrence. The prequel's logline from Lionsgate reads this. Years before, he would be known as the tyrannical president of Pan Am, 18-year-old Snow, played by Bryce, is the last hope for the fading lineage of a once-proud family that has fallen from grace in a post-war capital. With the 10th annual Hunger Games fast approaching, the young Snow is alarmed when he's assigned to mentor Lucy Great Bird, who's played by Rachel Zegler, of course. The girl tribute from impoverished District 12. But after Lucy Gray commands all Pan Am's attention by defiantly singing during the reaping ceremony, Snow thinks he might be able to turn the odds into their favor. Uniting their instincts for showmanship and newfound political savvy, Snow and Lucy's race against time to survive will ultimately reveal who is a songbird and who is a snake. Franchise producer Nina Jacobson and Brad Simpson are producing the prequel along with Lawrence, who helmed The Hunger Games: Catching Fire and Mockingjay Part 1 and 2. And Michael Arda and Michael Leslie adapted Collins' novel. Jim Miller, Tim Palin, and Mika Psychago serves as EPs on this. Okay, let's talk about it. As I said, I think this is going to be big. It's going to be really, really big for, you know, what it is. Now, as I watched the trailer, okay, this is one of the shots, I gotta say, I love the retro look. Now, obviously, this is before Candace. I love the retro look, though. This is supposed to be a young Stanley Tucci. It's not Stanley Tucci, I shouldn't say that, but it's the MC. It's the MC of the Hunger Games, who eventually, in the later films, was played by Stanley Tucci. Now, this is not Stanley Tucci. But, you know, it's interesting to see we're going back to this again. And, you know, I think this is going to do good. I mean, is it my cup of tea? No. I watched The Hunger Games. Okay. I liked them. Okay. But that made Jennifer Lawrence a star. Now, I'm not saying Rachel Zegler is not a star already, because she is. But, you know, I think we've gotten to the point, too, where we're just doing prequels, a lot of prequels. And that being said, I don't know if this was really a needed or necessary thing. It had been some years since we had Mockingjay Part 1 and 2. I hope it does well. Look, I've always said this. Just because I don't think a movie is going to do well doesn't mean I don't want it to succeed. Okay? There's a difference. That being said, I think that this is going to do. Now, actually, it was interesting. She's on Twitter, and she actually said this shot here was completely ad-libbed. This was not in the script. So it's fascinating when you hear these things coming from the stars and go, oh, really? So, yeah, I think this is going to – it's going to do well, though. I do, because I think people still – they, you know, IPs, this is an IP that when basically this came out in 2012, it was huge. Absolutely huge. And I just don't know stories. I don't want to compare it to Rogue One. Because Rogue One is a different animal because it was in between episodes 3 and 4. That was a story. This is like another Hunger Games. I mean, that's exactly what it is, Lucy, instead of Candace. So, I don't know. Anyways, what do you guys think? Are you excited for this new, you know, Hunger Games film? Did you read the book by Suzanne Collins? Are you going to go see the movie? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so there's, you know, a couple of other stories that, or a couple of other trailers that came to CinemaCon that we didn't get to see. And one of them, okay, is a franchise that is really, excuse me, growing with rapid pace and is doing a lot of, and has been doing a lot of number, a lot of money, okay? And that's the film A Quiet Place. And we're going to be getting A Quiet Place Day 1. So this is Lionsgate Actually, I'm sorry. This is Paramount, not Lionsgate. I stand corrected. So John Krasinski is doing this film. And so Kevin comes in and says, Hunger Games comes out right after The Marvels. It could make some money. Yeah, no, I think it will, Kevin. I've every inkling in my mind that it's for a whole new generation. So, I mean, and that's true too. You do have The Marvels, so it's going to be right around that same demographic. So that's actually a very good point. So this is a brand new story, and it's a brand new movie by John Krasinski. And I think that this is gonna, like I said, this is one of those films that's just really taken off over the past couple of years. And this was a tweet that he put out. Requisite photo on Slate is day one, this time with a twist. So honored to be there, day one of A Quiet Place, day one with the maestro and legendary Lupita Nyong'o, who's actually in this film. Can't wait to see what magic they conjure up for this one. So this is going to be fun. I actually have not seen A Quiet Place. Everybody, I've put that on the to watch list. So I'm very interested in this. A very good psychological thriller. So I'm definitely a horror film, depending on what you want to call it. I'm really, really interested in seeing this. So this one is going to be fun. So this comes out next year, and I think that's going to be a blast. Are you guys looking forward to A Quiet Place, day one? Did you enjoy the first two films? Who's your favorite character? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments. Okay, so now we're moving on from CinemaCon, and there was some other stuff I didn't get to, so I didn't go through every single nugget of what it was. So I wanted to move on to a story that basically it's interesting because when you look at the sacrifice that filmmakers make and actors make, right? It's one of those things where you go, oh, wow. So this is, bear with me here. Okay, so we all know one of the things that was announced was Dune 2. And so there was no trailer, or we've gotten photos. And you can go to Esquire. There's a huge article in Esquire on what they did, and they have those. I think they're on Google if you want to Google those. So the stars of Dune Part 2, Zendaya, of course, and Timothée Chalamet, who, by the way, is going to have a huge year. At the end of this year, he's got two major films coming up. Not only does he have Dune, but of course he has Wonka, and he's now signed up to play Bob Dylan. So he's an up and coming actor in today's Hollywood roles. So this was a fascinating piece that was done by the Hollywood Reporter, and it says, Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet only had an hour each day to film sunset romance scenes for Dune Part 2. Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet realized love and romance in a futuristic universe is a little different than Earth. The Euphoria star told Vanity Fair in an interview published on Thursday while filming Dune Part 2 with Chalamet, it was funny trying to figure out in the futuristic space talk, like, how do they flirt? She said it was difficult because to navigate the relationship between a space warrior and the young duke of a planet. Zendaya added that it was actually, quote, funny because we were all stumped. I think it was just as foreign to us as it probably was to the characters, end quote. In the end, they ended up accepting the, quote, awkward and uncomfortable, end quote, nature of it all. I was like, does Shana get awkward? The Spider-Man Homecoming actress said. Does it happen to her? Does she know what it feels like? But when shooting romantic scenes, specifically in remote desert locations, Abu Dhabi and Jordan, Zendaya said it was like, quote, a ticking timer, end quote. Trying to capture the shots within 1 hour each day, we when Sunset was at its peak, known in the industry as Golden Time. You kind of feel like, okay, we got it here, but we have maybe another hour to get this. So we revisited a bit every day, and over a few days, that gave us a few hours, she explained. Every time we revisited it, we kind of got to sleep on it and then think about it and come up with this new set of ideas. Director Denis Villeneuve gave the two stars credit for making it work and finding their vision of romance in the Warner Brothers and Legendary sequel. I think something that we can all relate to is just love, Zendaya added. These characters literally live on another planet, right? They're aliens. It was interesting finding those tender moments in such turmoil and chaos. The second film continues the adaptation of Frank Herbert's acclaimed bestseller, Dune. It follows Paul Akers' mythic journey as he reunites with Shani and the Freeman to get revenge against the conspirators who destroy his family. Paul will find himself having to make a decision between love and the fate of the universe, the unknown universe, in an attempt to prevent a terrible future that he can only foresee. Earlier in the week, the THR was at CinemaCon where Chalamet and Zendaya joined Villeneuve to debut a brand new trailer for the sequel, which has not been released to the public, by the way. Before showing it off, the director said, part one is more of a contemplative movie. Part two is an action-packed epic war movie. It is more dense. We went to all new locations. I didn't want a feeling of repetition. It's all new set. Everything is new. Dune 2 is set to premiere November 3rd. This looks really good. Now, that being said, I saw Dune in IMAX, and it was really good. I hadn't read that. I see that comment. I'll get you in just a second, Kevin. The thing is that I saw it in IMAX, and you got to remember, this was during the pandemic. So it was one of those things where there are two types of, like I said on Space the other day, there are two types of people. You have the whole fandom that are really into it, and then you have somebody like me that knows of it, but is like, I have no idea what's going on. I haven't read the books. I don't know much of it. So all that being said, I really enjoyed it. I'll go back and revisit Dune prior to going to see Dune 2. So, and if it's more action-packed, then and he's a fantastic filmmaker. Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, I mean, Sicario, the list goes on and on. Warner Brothers Discovery, Wonka 2, Dune 2, The Color Purple, Barbie will all get Oscar nominations when it comes to the box office hits. They don't make any profit at all. You're right. And to your point about that, okay, the thing about Dune 2 is it's very specified, okay? I mean, you're science fiction, sure, but you have to know of the story. It's what I call a second-level story, okay? Because it's one of those things where it is so deep and so rich in the mythology and the everything about it that a lot of people get turned off because it's too hard to follow. So all of that being said, I think that you're right. I think The Color Purple, I think that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a musical, or there are going to be musical elements to it. Barbie, I think that's going to get production design. If I'm being honest, that's probably going to get a production design Oscar nomination. Who knows? It might get a best screenplay nomination. Original screenplay. That's a thought. So Dune 2 absolutely is going to get quite a few. They're all going to be technical. So, I wouldn't be shocked. If this is as good as advertised, I wouldn't be shocked to see them give Denis Villeneuve a best director nomination. But yeah, so I thought the fact that they only had 1 hour to shoot, or right around 90 minutes to shoot their scenes. I mean, that's impressive. And having to go back and revisit it and everything else. And so I think it's going to be fantastic. I hope it does the numbers. I really, really do, because it's going to be a really good movie. So what do you guys think on Dune 2? Are you excited for Dune 2? Have you seen the first Dune? Have you read the book? Do you know of the mythology of it? If so, who's your favorite character? Or who is your favorite character in the first film? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everyone. So we're going to do another James Gunn story right now. And this is having to deal and to do with Superman Legacy. So let's go to this article here from Variety instead. And basically it says that, so the headline reads, James Gunn wants a Superman who has, quote, humanity and is, quote, somebody you can hug, end quote. James Gunn told Variety Thursday night that his upcoming DC movies, Guardians of the, I almost said Guardians of the Galaxy. I have Guardians of the Galaxy on my brain, guys. DC movies, Superman Legacy, hasn't found its leading man just yet. But the production is considering, quote, some really good choices, end quote. On the red carpet for Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, MCU actors are also teased whether they're not they're going to join the director for his upcoming DC movie. Gunn explained exactly what he's looking for in his Clark Kent. The next Superman has to be someone who has all the humanity that Superman has, but he also has to be an alien, Gunn told Variety's Mark Malkin. It's got to be somebody who has the kindness and compassion that Superman has and be somebody you want to give a hug to. As for whether or not Gunn is recruiting Guardian star Chris Pratt for the role, he said, quote, it's not Chris Pratt. If he was a few years younger, maybe. And that's interesting, and we'll get back to that in a couple minutes. The DC co-head announced in December that he was writing the upcoming feature in March, and then he confirmed that Superman Legacy, the director, he revealed that, quote, costumes, production design, and more are now up and running, end quote. One of the actresses who played, the actress who plays Mantis in the Guardians films, says she's talking about Gunn about crossing over to the DC world. We've had conversations and we've been making plans already, but nothing is confirmed yet. She has her eye on one character, but she can't reveal who she is. Just that she's always, quote, thought this character would be fucking cool, end quote. Though she may be joining Gunn for Superman Legacy, MCU newcomer Adam Poulter intends to stay with Marvel. He revealed he just hasn't thought about auditioning as Gunn's Superman. Not till now, he said. No, but I'm grateful to be in this, so for the time being that I am. Grateful for that alone. Directed by Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy hits theaters next week, and the latest film starts Pratt, Adam Poulter, Zoe Saldana, Bradley Cooper, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Karen Gillan, Sean Gunn, Sylvester Stallone, and others. Okay, let's talk about it. So I think this is an interesting nugget, okay, because Chris Pratt is one of those guys that is, he's been in two major franchises already. And I'm talking about Jurassic Park. And I'm talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, right? And it's interesting because Pratt, okay, if we look at how old he is, he's 43 years old. Now, it's fascinating because if we go back down to this quote and says, if he was a few years younger, then maybe. So my question then is, a few years younger, so are we talking like 35-ish? Are we talking about like 38-ish? It's interesting because then you can start to really narrow down who could play this part, right? So you know that they've got to, I mean, they're a default character, okay, right? It could be an African-American playing, but everyone we've ever seen has been Caucasian. So that means they're Caucasian. They're probably going to be 35 to 40, okay? And they've got to be well-known, okay? Now, they don't have to be well-known, but the thing for me is they have to be well-known because you have to put them on the marquee, okay? If you put an unknown on the marquee, I find it difficult that you're going to be able to do this. That being said, you know, he is 43 years old. Obviously, it's not Pratt. You know that. I think that, you know, no matter who it is, they're going to do a good job. And I also think that it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, I just think, but it is fascinating to see what he said, and that Poulter hasn't actually done it. He could be a front runner because he's worked with him, you know, on these Guardians films. Anyways, I thought that was an interesting, which tells you that the tone of the film too. If you want somebody that he can hug and he's compassionate and everything else, because really, when you think about it, Henry Cavill wasn't that kind of guy. You know, he wasn't that teddy bear type of guy, and that's another characteristic and trait they're going to be looking for. So, anyways, guys, what do you think? What do you think about James Gunn's comments about being somebody, you know, he should be able to hug? Do you have a couple people in mind that you would like to see be playing Superman? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So as we're wrapping up today, I did want to touch upon a couple of things. Number one, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I am going to be sitting down with Matthew Anderson, who's been on the show a couple times, as you all know. And it is the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. He has watched it. I am going to watch it. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Return of the Jedi. Number two, as I said, I just put up the Mission Impossible. Rewatched the very first one. I watched the second one last night. Probably within the next week or two, I'll be sitting down to record that one. Number three, this weekend at some point, I'm going to be doing, we just had a big anniversary with Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame. So the release dates came one day apart, one year apart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually combine them together. And we're going to talk about those two films, what they have did culturally, everything about those. So that will be this weekend. So you guys look forward to that. And lastly, I mean, if you guys would like to support me, there's a couple different ways of doing it. There's, as you can see on the screen, patreon.com/realtalks. And what that does is there's only two levels there. One is $5 and one is $10. $5 gets you Mob Mondays. And that is a once a month thing. And you guys have already selected the next film that I'm going to be doing for Mob Mondays. And that's The Untouchables, Brian De Palma. 1987, Robert De Niro, Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Andrew Garcia. And then, so that's the $5 level. The $10 level gets you both videos. And the second video is called Rewatch Wednesdays. And essentially, that is films that I've seen before that I haven't seen in a long time. The first film that I did quite a long time ago was Steve Jobs, Michael Fassbender, Kate Winslet. So that's one way you guys can support me. Another way is if you go to the channel, or if you're watching this or you're going to watch this in the near future, you're going to see the little join button up there. It's only $2.99 a month. I would be much appreciative. I know times are tough right now, so it's, you know, I want to make it as cheap as possible. And yeah, so we can't believe we're a week away from Guardians of the Galaxy opening up. That's amazing. We've always talked about it and everything else. You guys are going to be getting all these spoiler casts for free. So if I could just ask, as that little ticker says, hit that like and subscribe button. You're going to be getting so much content over the next couple months, all for free. The last thing I'll say is, because Matthew's coming on, we are doing Return of the Jedi today, May 4th, okay? Of course, that's a big Star Wars day, but May 4th is our next perfect movie coming up, okay? And that is The Empire Strikes Back. So Matthew and I sat down. We did The Empire Strikes Back. That's, you guys will be getting that on May 4th. So there's a ton of stuff here, guys. As I said, hit that like and subscribe button. Follow me either here or you can follow me on Twitter. Here's my Twitter address. And I'm always doing spaces or tweeting about movies or talking about movies. The last possible thing I will say is this. Next week, I've already contacted him. He was at CinemaCon. He's exhausted, probably. Giving him the weekend, but hopefully I will be end up getting, and he'll be coming on, Jeremy Fowler of The Wrap, and we'll be speaking to him, and we'll be doing our 2023 blockbuster preview, and we're going to be discussing all of the movies coming out this summer. So guys, stay with us, and do the three things you need to do. Be safe, be careful, and have a great rest of the day, and have a great weekend. I'm David Steele, and you've been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.